The following commentary does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff and management of WBCA or the Boston Neighborhood Network. If you would like to express another opinion, you can address your comments to Boston Neighborhood Network, 3025 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02119. To arrange a time for your own commentary, you can call WBCA at 617-708-3215 or email radio at bnnmedia.org.
Well, Boston, I'm back again. It's Wednesday. You know what time it is, right? You know what time it is. The trenches, baby. My observation from the trenches. From the trenches, observation from the trenches. I'm your host, Larry Higginbottom, and you listen to WBCA 102.9 FM. Again, WBCA 102.9 FM in Boston. Well, the weather ain't too bad out there. It's kind of rainy, you know, not too bad. Hope you're home, you know, safe and sound, with your feet up, with a cup of tea or coffee or whatever, hot chocolate. And today I'm going to put something out in the atmosphere for you to consider. Again, I'm not here to insult or degrade anyone, but to share my observation. You might agree with all, some, or none, but it's something for you to compare and contrast. I have said on my show many times that I've come to believe, that when I look at us, my group, American-born blacks, or ADOS as I identify as, American descendants of slavery, we come out of that institution, that's our lineage. When I look at our community, the thing that I believe that we made a big mistake on was trying to use politics as a vehicle to address our legitimate grievance against our government for what it allowed us to experience and go through. The reason why I've come to the conclusion over time, because democracy is based on what one person, one vote. Okay. When there is a major grievance, such as what we have against the United States government for 247 years of chattel slavery, then and there, followed by another 100 years of Jim Crow, 100 years of lynching, redlining, convict leasing, you know, being denied GI Bill, then being denied the New Deal, those things build the white middle class. Our folks are here. Having to fight for civil rights, again, to so-called be viewed and treated as a citizen, which has not done, you know, us a whole lot of good for the most part. I kind of realized that one of the biggest drawbacks when you're trying to use this political system was that if you can't get your white colleagues, and now these folks of color, these immigrants of color, to co-sign or buy or sign up on your legislation, it goes nowhere. Be it on the city level, state, or down there at the federal level in Washington, D.C. So we was told, King told us, as well as our relatives, that we had to be part of the process. We had to be at the table, more or less, in the political arena. And we have been sold that falsehood for the last 161 years since emancipation. And I have this here thought to put out in the atmosphere for you to consider. Having black faces in high places has not helped ADOS very much. Having black faces in high places has not helped ADOS very much. That's going to be my first half an hour. In the second half an hour, I want to turn to this genre called rap. Because rap has become more lethal to ADOS community than the KKK ever was. Again, rap has become more lethal to the ADOS community than rap ever was, than the KKK ever was. The first 20 years of rap, you can listen with it. You can listen to it with your grandparents, your kids, everybody. The last 30 years of rap has been absolutely despicable. The material has been downright detrimental. I'm going to talk about it in the second half. But back to my first half an hour. Having black faces in high places has not helped our community very much. And I thought about that. I made a list of people who are black, with black faces in high places, and I thought about how effective have they been. At the top was President Obama, VP Harris. We have the ambassador of the UN, black woman, Condi Rice. She was Secretary of State. Colin Powell has been Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense. Okay. We now have the Speaker of the House in Jeffries. You now have black mayors in New York, Chicago, Atlanta. We now have the governor of Maryland. Okay. They said, no, you need to have folks in corporate America, these CEOs. You need blacks and CEOs on the board of directors. Yeah, we did that too. We need to have folks in city council, state reps, state senators, attorney general, right? The White House spokesperson, Ms. Perry, congressmen, United States senators. So having all these black folks in high places, right, has not helped ADOs, not one iota. Because our quality of life has not improved for the group as a collective. We must always remember the Dr. King theme, as well as the Black Panthers during the Black Power movement, was all about collective uplift. It was not about a few doing okay. It was not about a few, right, being able to show, say, look at me, look at what I'm doing. Those folks was about the collective. And having blacks in high places, when you really think about it, right, they have adopted a appeasement outlook position, where they're not there trying to challenge the status quo or even improve on the status quo or bring a different direction to the status quo. So in essence, having blacks in high places have done very little to advance the position of the ADOs community. I'm not talking about the black race or the black community. I'm talking about our community, who's been here since, some say, 1500, whether you use the 1619 as a starting date, whenever. Those who've been here, who got lineage here, it's not done much for us. And my message really is to those coming behind me, Gen X, Gen Zs, and millennials. And the good thing that you have in your favor is that you can now see what we have done, which did not fare very well. And because we were told by Dr. King and our elders, and we have to be part of the political process. We believe that. And so we thought that we could get there, and by showing, you know, this whole thing of white racism was, you know, immoral, you know, unethical, that our white colleagues would see the light of day to no avail. And so the good thing that those coming behind me, I'm one of the baby boomers, as we get ready to get out your way, you now have a blessing beyond measure. You can look and see what did not work. But you first got to be honest with yourself that politics per se never will address our legitimate grievance against the United States government for the treatment that we have endured then and now. There's a debt owed here. And so for that debt to be paid, you're going to have to come up with a new vehicle, right, to address this legitimate grievance. Because voting and participating in this process called politics, putting blacks with black faces in high places, have not paid dividends for the group. They look good. I'm sure they're good people. When you just sit back and think about it, it's done nothing to elevate the group. A few has benefited, a few have, but the collective were just as bottom cast now as we were in 1963 when Dr. King gave his speech there in D.C. We couldn't hire ourselves then, we couldn't hire ourselves now. We own no factories, no institution then, we don't own nothing now. And one of the biggest instruments of subjugating us has been the black church, I believe. Because nowhere has it told us, the congregation, you know something, members? You know what our biggest challenge is? It's the spirit of white supremacy. That's been our biggest nemesis. So if you're not pushing back against that nemesis, you're not getting anything. Because they have been indoctrinated and socialized and groomed not to share the wealth with the ADOs community. But our ministers and preachers have never, ever had the wherewithal to state that plain and clear. That the fact that you are fighting against this spirit called white supremacy, that's your nemesis. That's what made your life so, in times, unbearable. And so all they have said to us, right? In time, things get better. Keep pushing. And in a way, they've given our prosperity and affluency a bitter, bitter taste to our taste buds. As long as you are just, you know, trucking along, getting along, it's good. But never have they really said, we got to get out there and push back to the man to be included, to the man to share the wealth, the city contracts, state contracts, federal contracts, private contracts, the trade, essential high-income position. And so now, these blacks in high places have done nothing for us. And so for the young folks coming behind me and my group, you know, you baby boomers, as we get out your way and let you Gen X, Gen Zs, and millennials come to the mic, the blessings you have that you know what doesn't work. Like I said before, look at the blacks we've had in high places. President Obama, VP Harris, Ambassador to the UN, Condi Rice, we didn't get anything to deal. Colin Powell, nice guy, sound good. Colin Powell Jr. was head of what FCC, right? Speaker Jeffries, right? He's now speaker. He's now the House leader, Democrat. Hey, he ain't saying nothing, all right? Mayor of New York, Mayor of Chicago, Atlanta, right? Those blacks ain't faring no better. Governor of Maryland. Again, they said, no, you need to be on these boards, corporate America. You had some blacks who were CEOs, right? Didn't do nothing for the group. We've also had city council, state reps, right? State senators, attorney general, yep, had one of those. Secretary of Defense, yep. Have a White House press secretary, got one of those. United States Congress people, got some of those. United States senators. And we also got what? Supreme Court justices. So we got these folks in high places, right? But our quality of life is just as dismal and daunting as it was in most respect in 1963. But what's missing, and the advantage that you have, young people, is that unchecked violence, that unchecked terrorism, that my parents and my grandparents had to endure and was subjugated to, right? Subjected to. You ain't got to deal with it no more. You ain't got to deal with it no more. So if you have and possess essential high-income skills, you're going to do well here. You're going to do very well in America. If you got marginal or just employable skills, with all this influx of illegals in the last 10, 15, 20 years, you got a problem. You are going to be pushed to the side. And right now, many of you cannot afford to stay in the city of Boston or any of these cities because you possess really just low-income skills. So what I say to those who are about to replace us baby boomers is this notion. Having blacks in high places, right, should not be viewed as some plum or some great achievement, because they can't bring forth no policy that's going to do anything to address our legitimate grievance against our government. But what it had us subjected to, they can't do anything. So I say it's time for us to acknowledge that, or you should acknowledge that, as I have about three decades ago. I have acknowledged this is a white man's country. When I say the white man's country, I'm not being facetious. I'm not being mean-spirited, or I'm not trying to be a smart aleck or starting trouble. It is what it is. The white man owns all the wealth, controls all the resources. These are his institution. Now, to be honest, right? These are his regs, his policies, as how they should be governed. It is what it is, right? He owns all the wealth, all the resources. These are his institution, right? And he owns all the guns. Here's what it is. So given that reality, The only saving grace for a member of ADOS, American descendant of slavery, or Black American, is labor. Do you possess essential high income skills? Because if you do, you're going to do very well here. If you don't, you're going to struggle. It's just a cut and dry. Because our relationship is based on, the foundation of our relationship is based on 247 years of chattel slavery. The most inhumane, vile treatment any group has faced in this country. We have to face that. Just downright despicable and terrible. Whatever could be done to us was done. So that laid the groundwork for the relationship. So we was never viewed with value, or self-respect, or anything. And despite laws being passed, right, to improve the way white folks treated us, right, what King realized, and I also kind of realized, laws might change some behavior, but laws will never change the heart or one's true conviction. I'll say again. What King came to realize, and I have too, laws might change some of your behavior. It might change behavior. But laws will never change a person's heart and a person's true conviction. So despite these laws that they pass, these laws that pass mostly because of white people to benefit them, they try to teach them how to treat us, how to include us, how to share with us. There's been a fight all the way from 1865 to now. We've been, what, fighting these white folks, fighting the spirit of whiteness. And the good thing that you have, Gen X, Gen Z, and millennial, you have a 161-year history of what not to do by critiquing what we have done. And let me also say to those in the back row, there have always been and always will be good white people, always. I'm sure during our 24th year of chattel slavery, there was members of the white community who found it appalling and terrible the way we've been treated, to no avail. I'm sure when it continued during 100 years of lynching, the black holes, sharecropping, okay, being denied the GI Bill, okay, the New Deal, I'm sure there's white folks who found it appalling and despicable, to no avail. When King was out there doing civil rights, I'm sure there were some whites, you see him on those clips, there's a few whites out there with him who found it despicable and deplorable, to no avail. What I'm saying, the ideology has been firmly entrenched in the psyche of the white community. It's here. White supremacy is about race. So I would not spend any more of my time, young people, trying to fight racism, right? Voting rights, voter suppression, human rights, all those ism, all those socialism. We've been at that for 161 years. I say put that cross down in a lot of the white community because they created this binary system of black and white. They created that binary system of black and white. So let the white community, along with these immigrants of color who just got here, let them pick up that cross and fight that. I would be strictly focused on acquiring essential high income skills whereby I can now pursue contract with the city, state, federal government, private, where I'd be to hire myself, hire my people, acquire wealth, and build my own projects, my own complexes. So you're in a very, very, very good place, young people. Because you can see, right, what has been tried and what has not brought home the bacon. And I'm telling you, any of these social agendas, I wouldn't put no more of my time in these social agendas if I was a Gen X, Gen Z, or a millennial. I was putting my time into acquiring those essential skills. City of Boston spends over $2 billion a year. $2 billion a year with outside contractors. Our community get less than 1% of that money. Less than 1% of that money. The state spends about $4 billion a year. $4 billion a year with outside contractors. Again, our community gets less than 1% of that money. Think about that. So we got our city councilors, our state reps, state senators, mayor, governor, fighting about everything, then what bring home the bacon? So right now in Boston, you got all these different projects going on. All these idle black men and black women. Because why? Got no contract. And as a state provider with a contract with the state and with Medicaid, there's currently employed at Osiris over 40 individuals that we have contracted with. We can contract with a young black American or anybody who come out of grad school in mental health. Put them to work. We can also put folks to work who have experience and education working with our youth. Put them to work. Why? We got a contract. And so when folks say, well, yeah, we need to own our own thing, do our own thing, create our own jobs, that sounds good in theory. Here's where I would have challenged Dr. King and Malcolm, who said it also. What's going to be your source of revenue? How are you going to be able to hire these people? Where they can buy these products that you want to make, or put them in these upscale projects that you want to create. If you don't have a source of revenue to hire our own people, how's it going to be accomplished? So you cannot abandon or get outside of the major economy. You have to participate in the larger U.S. economy to do well. Simple as that. The days of being strictly segregated are long gone. That's long gone. You have to be able to have, right, and have access to those contracts on the city level, state, federal government. The federal government spends over $500 billion, might be more now, $500 billion a year with outside contractors. Again, we get chump change, because we ain't there. So whether it's House Leader Jeffries, or those 55 representatives up there in D.C., none of those folks are talking about where the money at. Down at City Hall in Boston, getting $2 billion a year. None of y'all city council say, hey, we need some of that $2 billion. We need to make sure that these black American contractors, if they're not there, we've got to put them there. But they can hire themselves and hire other members of our community. They can share in the wealth. They ain't saying that. On the state level, where I'm at, out of $4 billion in, I think, 2020, they did a story on WBCN where out of $4 billion, black Americans got, I think, you know, something like $10 million in contracts. The Spanish got like $11 million. Asian got like $70 million in contract, and the rest went to white people. So think about it. Out of $4 billion, that's doing COVID now, the state of Massachusetts spent $4 billion with outside contractors. Out of $4 billion, we only got $10 million of that. The Spanish got $11 million. Asian got $70 million. Chump change. Why? Because our state rep, our state senators are focused on everything but where the bacon's at. Where the bacon. And so I say to you young people, the best thing that you have, that you can look and see what my group has done that's been virtually just symbolic. So again, I'm talking about today. It's my topic. Real simple. Having black faces in high places has done very little for our group. Again, having black faces in high places has done very little to help our group, ADOs. Ain't done much for us. And so, yes, had a black president, black VP, a black UN person, Condi Rice, Colin Powell, Speaker of the House in Jeffries, Mayor of New York, Chicago, Atlanta, right? Press secretary, black. We've had black CEOs, state rep, attorney general, secretary of defense, right? Congressperson, senators, not people on what? The white man Supreme Court ain't done a darn thing for the group. So my message to the young people coming behind us baby boomers as we get out the way, don't be deceived by appearances. If I was part of Dr. King entourage or in a circle, say, Dr. King, I don't believe playing the politics agenda is going to work for us because it's still based on one person, one vote. And so we can't convince our colleagues to sign off on our legislation despite how they've been socialized, how they feel about us. It ain't going to fly. And it hasn't flown. Be it on the city, state, or at the federal level. It's not going to fly. So your task, young people, is to figure out a new vehicle how we can address our legitimate grievance against our government for the despicable, vile treatment we've endured for 405 years. Since 1619 to now, it's 405 years of the worst treatment any group has endured. That's your task, as I see it. That's your task, is to come up with a different vehicle to address our legitimate grievance. And since King was murdered, I contend that we have allowed ourselves to be subjugated by some got jobs, city, state, private, corporation. Some got into Ivy League schools, you know. Some can move to the suburbs. A lot of our poor folks got welfare. The man who was not educated, not trained, got a life of vice and crime, mass incarceration. And we've been singing this song, participation in the process of politics for that 70, 60 years, right? It hadn't done that for us. And electing a black person to be put in high places has done nothing and will do nothing for the group. That's my belief. If you can show me something better, you know. So when folks say, well, what's the option? Well, that's what you got to do. It's your time to figure out. Maybe we should demand a new deal. A new deal. A new deal for the Asian community based on legitimate grievance and hostility that our people had in the late 60s when King was murdered has completely dissipated. It's gone. The righteous anger and contempt towards the treatment has been exacerbated. It's gone. People are content. A lot of folks are okay. So the zeal for change is gone. It's not here. So your task, young people, is to figure out a different methodology of how to address this legitimate grievance. And yes, I am for reparation. I'm for reparation because that's a debt is a debt is a debt. But the issue is here. While you're fighting for reparation, you still want to be comfortable. I know I do. Which means you're going to have essential skills about you can demand top dollar in the labor market while you are fighting reparation. And even if you got reparations today, right, the white community still owns the institution. The wealth doesn't go anywhere. Resources doesn't change. So again, you still got to be what I call create mode. You got to create institution, companies to be able to hire our people, to be able to hire yourself. Something to think about. So I'm going to take a break, come back. Again, listen to WBCA 102.9 FM. Name of the program, From the Trenches, Baby. Observation Trenches. My first half an hour has been having black faces in high places has done nothing to help us. Having black faces in high places has done nothing to help us. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, my next half an hour is going to be rappers being more lethal to Adolf than the KKK ever was. In the last 30 years, these rappers have done more harm to us than the KKK ever did. And we have co-signed this nonsense. So stay tuned. I'll be right back to continue my observation from the trenches, baby. I'll be back.
The revolution wasn't televised in the 60s. Is it going to be televised in the 90s?
Well, you know, the catchphrase, what that was all about, the revolution will not be televised, that was about the fact that the first change that takes place is in your mind. You have to change your mind before you change the way you live and the way you move. So when we said that the revolution will not be televised, we were saying that, like, that the thing that's going to change people is something that no one will ever be able to capture on film. It'll just be something that you see, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm on the wrong page, or I'm on the right page, but I'm on the wrong note. And I've got to get in sync with everyone else to understand what's happening in this country. But I think that the black Americans have been the only real diehard Americans here, because we're the only ones who've carried the process through the process, that everyone else has sort of like skipped stages. We're the ones who marched, we're the ones who carried the Bible, we're the ones who carried the flag, we're the ones who tried to go through the courts. And being born American didn't seem to matter, because we were born Americans, but we still had to fight for what we were looking for. And we still had to go through those channels and those processes.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's time for today's STEM tip. Okay, you know recycling is important. No one wants plastic in the ocean. Here's a cool way to repurpose a plastic bottle. Build an awesome terrarium. Cut a large plastic bottle in half and fill the base with sand, pebbles, potting soil, and your favorite plant. I chose an African violet. Put the top of the bottle over your base and place it in the sun. Your plant will grow sealed in its own ecosystem. Fun, right? Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
If you are struggling to afford internet service for your household, there's a new government program that may be able to help. It's called the Affordable Connectivity Program, and it provides up to a $30 monthly discount to qualifying households. Find more information about the program, including if you qualify and how to enroll, at fcc.gov/ACP or call toll-free at 877-384-2575. That's 877-384-2575. If you are struggling to afford internet service for your household, there's a new government program that may be able to help. It's called the Affordable Connectivity Program, and it provides up to a $30 monthly discount to qualifying households. Find more information about the program, including if you qualify and how to enroll, at fcc.gov/ACP or call toll-free at 877-384-2575. That's 877-384-2575.
The revolution wasn't televised in the 60s. Is it going to be televised in the 90s?
Well, you know, the catchphrase, what that was all about, the revolution will not be televised, that was about the fact that the first change that takes place is in your mind. You have to change your mind before you change the way you live and the way you move. So when we said that the revolution will not be televised, we were saying that, like, that the thing that's going to change people, it's something that no one will ever be able to capture on film. It'll just be something that you see, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm on the wrong page. Or I'm on the right page, but I'm on the wrong note. And I've got to get in sync with everyone else to understand what's happening in this country. But I think that the black Americans have been the only real diehard Americans here, because we're the only ones who've carried the process through the process, that everyone else has sort of like skipped stages. We're the ones who marched, we're the ones who carried the Bible, we're the ones who carried the flag, we're the ones who tried to go through the courts. And being born American didn't seem to matter, because we were born Americans, but we still had to fight for what we were looking for, and we still had to go through those channels and those processes.
I'm back, Boston. Again, you're listening to WBCA 102.9 FM. Again, WBCA 102.9 FM. In Boston, I'm your host, Larry Higginbottom. Name of the show, From the Trenches, baby. From the trenches. I speak about things that I see out here that we need to really take a double take. It's not working. Reading why I play that interview by the late Gil Scott Heron, because he's telling you point blank what has to change. The change must first start with you. No fanfare. With your mind. You have to realize I'm on the wrong page. I'm going the wrong way. I'm doing things wrong, given a relationship and what it's built on in America as it pertains to Black America, ADOS, as I identify as. If I don't understand I got to change, well, then I'm not going to do well out here. As he said, we the only group that being born in America, that being born an American, didn't appear to matter. We had to fight for everything we've gotten. Everything we've gotten had to go through what? The legal channels. All these laws that was passed, you know, really was for the white people, to benefit them, to address how they was treating us so vile and despicable. Because what King came to find out, and I also kind of realized, that laws might change behavior, but it does not change a person's heart or their true conviction, how they feel about you. And so now I want to change gears for the last half an hour, 20 minutes, talk about rap. When rap jumped on the scene in 1970, I was 20. It's been around for 50 years now. I'm 70, going on 71. The first 20 years was absolutely what we have here. It was wonderful. Feel-good music, encouragement music, encouraging music, enlightening music, elevation music, everything. In the last 30 years, rap has been more lethal to the ALOS community than the KKK ever was. It's been affirmed and validated. I'll say again, in the last 30 years, rap has been more lethal to the ALOS community than the KKK ever was. We would have never co-signed members of the KKK saying what rappers have been saying in the last 30 years. Sexualizing our women. Encouraging murder and mayhem. Selfish greed. All right? Think about what you hear. Think about what you've been hearing in the lyrics in the last 30 years. Glorifying and glamorizing the N-word. When I was a young man in my 20s, my teens and 20s and, you know, early 30s, all the ethnic groups had a racial slur. The Jews had theirs, whites had theirs, Spanish had theirs, right? Caribbean had theirs. Everybody had one in this country. All those terms have virtually disappeared from the public sphere except for what? The old N-word. Glorified and sanctioned by what? Our entertainers. Under the banner of, I'm just keeping it real. I'm just being 100. So now, you can go on any platform, TikTok, social media, anyone. When our folks speaking, look at the vile language they are speaking regarding themselves. Every other word is either profanity or the N-word, or they're going to do bodily harm to folks who look like them. Whether these record companies are owned by Jewish American, white American, Black American, Spanish American, Asian, doesn't matter. These entertainers know they cannot use that vile, despicable language to describe those other groups. You can denigrate yourself on the freedom of speech, but the show can't denigrate us. And so, in essence, what you have in the last 30 years, our rappers have become what I call agents of white supremacy. Getting paid. So folks that we have made famous, not me, most of these young folks made famous, most folks you see on these so-called TV shows or whatever, they're preaching violent hate against the group. And it's sanctioned and condoned by the group. No other group would pay to have itself denigrated or degraded or insulted or to use homicidal language aimed at it. Notice group does that. And as a person in mental health for the last 25 years in the home with these young folks and their parents, getting to hear the lyrics that these folks are putting out in the last 30 years, it's vile and despicable. It really is. When rap first popped on the scene, you could sit there and listen with your grandmother. As old as she was, very conservative, very religious, right? Even she be grooving to it. She be rocking to it. Well, it sound pretty good, son. Who's that group? Sugar Hill Gang. Young kids can sit there and listen and bounce to it. You didn't hear F-bomb, B-word, H-word, N-word, off-limit. And the record company, right, was not promoting that despicable, vile language. And somewhere in the late 80s, early 90s, with the album from Compton, you know, N.W.A., you know the word stand for N.W.A. Once that popped on the scene, and we did not as a community, right, protest vigorously to have it taken off, all of a sudden, the cork came off the bottle, and now everything has been permissible. All kind of sexual innuendo, sexual acts, bragging about killing other males, bragging about robbing each other, bragging about beating each other down, bragging about having sex with, you know, your rapper friend, just publicly displaying all your despicable, terrible behavior. And who's soaking it up? Who feels is the way to go? Our young people. They can quote verbatim the words of many of their rappers. And the reason why I know, because working in my field, to be on top of what's going on, I asked them to let me listen to the lyrics. And so I tell parents, do you have any idea what your kid is absorbing? What your teen is absorbing? A woman, right, virginity ain't worth squat now. Her body's worth zero. It's now what? Something she can bargain with. Something that she can use as leverage, get her hair did, her nails did, her toes did, whatever. You hear now on all these platforms about 50-50. For me to get with you, you got to be to pay my rent, pay my car debt. That's prostitution, people. It's not about getting together to build, to grow, to prosper, to thrive. Prostitution. All because in the last 30 years, our own entertainers have made it what? Okay. And no one has come out as a collective voice to say, no, we ain't having it no more. No one said, nope. We're going to protest the record companies. Is that the best you can do, right? We're going to boycott you. And in fact, if you remember, and I know I do, when Ice-T, rapper, came out with a song, right? A cop killer. Those white folks made them take that record down. They made Ice-T and record companies take that record down. They weren't having it. But when N.W.A. came out, because we had become, numb and dumb, we did not mount any campaign to have the record company take that nonsense down. And since then, right, the horse is out the barn. Everything, anything is permissible. You want to talk about your sex life? Put it in the record. You want to talk about homosexual? Put it in the record. You want to talk about threesome? Put it in the record. You want to talk about who you're going to kill? Put it in the record. Who you're going to beat down? Put it in the record. Anything and everything is not permissible. And who is absorbing and also emulating that? Our young folks. So take this here test, if you will. This I do on my young people and also with parents. I say, refer to yourself, use the N-word, say it 10 times, just 10 times, and see if that person that you're saying that to, see if he or she does not lose their human value or their humanity. Just say it. Say that word. Don't say the N-word. Say the actual word 10 times. And see if that person has lost his or her humanity. That is the same way how the white community used that vile word to make sure that we as a collective group lost our humanity. And it's okay, right, to exploit and manipulate. To manipulate us, to murder us, to slaughter us. Because why? We had no value. I tell young ladies, even mother, call your daughter a B, say the actual word, 10 times, and see how you lose respect and regard for that young person. Just do it yourself. This test I run myself with folks I work with out in these homes. And they all agree. You will lose your value as a human being if you use that vile, despicable language that our oppressors, the white community, use to justify our exploitation and dehumanization. You will lose if you use those words. Call her a B. If you're a female, you really want to hurt another female, refer to her as a B 10 times. Use the actual word now. Just use it. You will see that person is okay to be beat down, right? Okay to be ganged up by your girls. Because why? That person has lost its value. That person has been dehumanized. That's what rap in the last 30 years has done. That's why I say it is more lethal than the KKK ever was. Because why? We now are the agents of that destruction. Our parents, those born in the 1900s, 1800s, right, doing this terrorist group called the KKK or white nationalists, they knew who they were fighting against. They knew why. For the last 30 years, we have invited this demonic spirit into our homes, into our kids' hearts, into our kids' mind. Is any wonder why he has no regard for blowing somebody in the head who looked like him? He could have went to school with a person. She could have been her classmate. But because they have dehumanized them and devalued them, these folks have no value because you done used the H word, the B word on them, right? The N word on them. You have no empathy in doing lethal harm to them because this is the N-word or the B-word or the H-word. And I challenge all of you, take those tests. Use the actual word. As I tell parents, you need to be educating your children about the N-word and say that word in the way the oppressor said it to us. And let them know why they use that word. Have your kids use that word. Say, okay, when you say that word, what do you think about the person that you said about? If you say that word 10 times, how do you feel about little Mike now, little Mary now? How do you feel about them? What are your thoughts towards them? Do you have any feelings towards them? Any empathy towards them? Compassion towards them? The young folks that I have worked with say no. He's just a N-word. She's just a B-word. She's just a H-word. That's why my last half an hour, I want you to consider, young folks. I'm talking to the baby boomers. Our time is up. Get out the way. I'm really talking to Gen X's, Gen Z's, and millennials. Rap has become more lethal to ADO's community than the KKK ever was because why? We have co-signed it. We've allowed it to flourish in our communities, in our homes, and with our children. When I had my daughter, that kind of language Thank God my wife and sink was totally off limit. We didn't use that in our home. Nor did we have our daughter around folks who did that. So she never grew up with that kind of nonsense. So it's not part of her, what, vocabulary, her worldview. And the good news, young people, Gen X, Gen Z, and Millennium, in one generation, you can change this here in one generation. If you decide, as Brother Gil Scott said, revolution starts in your mind. Revolution starts in your mind. Got to get in sync how you think, what you're doing. If you change your mind, guess what? Your kids, your wife, your girlfriend all see the change, and they will get in sync. And in one generation, we can change this self-destructive behavior that we have endorsed and co-signed. And we must challenge our so-called entertainers. No, if that's what keeping it real is, right, we ain't buying it. Let the record come in. No, we ain't having it. We're not going to allow you to degrade us and denigrate us, right, and get paid. Nope, we ain't having it. So if we don't start to push back and demand a new deal, no one's coming to save us. No one's coming to save us. Nobody. Because the end person is always has been expendable. He's just property to be exploited and to be used. So again, those are my two topics today. Hope they have give something to think about. But again, as I said in my first half an hour, having black faces in high places has not helped ADOS, has not helped us. Again, having black faces in high places has not helped us. Had a black president, VP person, right? Senators, congresspeople, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, press secretary, all those black folks with black faces in high places has not saved us, and they never will. Never will. Because the political process was not the right vehicle to use to challenge and change our legitimate grievance. So young folks, you got your work cut out. You must create a different way. And I believe that it first starts with acknowledging you got to be skilled out here. Yes, you can fight for reparation. I'll fight with you. But I won't be comfortable, which means you got to be skilled out here. My second half an hour, I spoke about rap as being more lethal to ADOS than the KKK ever was. We would never have tolerated that group doing that, saying that. Never. And we shouldn't tolerate for myself. You must have standards in America. You must have standards to lay down to your children what's permissible and what's not. What you're going to tolerate and what you won't. If you don't, they'll do anything. And many of our kids are just doing anything. Anything. So again, as I come to a close, you've been listening to WBCA 102.9 FM. Again, WBCA 102.9 FM. Need a program from the trenches, observation from the trenches, observation from the trenches, baby. I'm your host, Larry Higginbottom. I'll be back here next Wednesday with another topic for you to consider. Again, not meaning to degrade anybody, but just my thoughts. You may agree, you may not, but something to think about. Because no one's coming to save us, baby. Nobody's coming to save us. Until next Wednesday, God bless you and be safe.
The preceding commentary does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff and management of WBCA or the Boston Neighborhood Network. If you would like to express another opinion, you can address your comments to Boston Neighborhood Network, 3025 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02119. To arrange a time for your own commentary, you can call WBCA at 617-708-3215 or email radio@bnnmedia.org.